another good example of fear of the unknown or known is grasshoppers. Because most people think that they're just these happy little insects hopping around the grass. But I know they are the scariest little things ever. One time I saw one without its head walking around, and then a bunch of baby grasshoppers hopped inside its neck and ate it from the inside. I'm like, it's not a happy little thing. They're flaky things.
We may be young,
but we've got a lot to say.
We have ideas,
opinions,
hopes,
dreams. We see our world,
everything that's good about it,
and we see what needs to change.
Change, 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 change.
So we're stepping up,
learning to lead,
speaking up,
speaking out,
and making our voices heard.
Because we are the leaders of tomorrow,
and we want you to hear us
today.
Welcome to the Finding Our Voice podcast.
Yo, what's up? It's Quinn, and I'm here with Autumn and Jackson, and we're going to guide you through this episode about fear. Do you guys remember why we chose the topic of fear?
I think it might have been because, at the very least, last season, when we did the emergency preparedness episode, I don't know about anybody else because I was in a lot of the stuff for that, but I feel like that was a pretty good episode, and a lot of that was about fear. We kind of dabbled in fear on that episode, and we interviewed a bunch of people that survived like a house fire. I think we just kind of wanted to go into just the fear element this time.
Our podcast director, when we were getting ready for this episode, asked us all what our fears were, and I personally don't have many fears just because I don't like feeling scared, so I just actively am always trying to face new ones that I get. But what about you guys? What were some of the fears that you have?
I don't really think I have too many fears. I don't really have much to fear, I'd say. Because if there's something that I feel anxious about, like, say, skydiving, I'll be like, okay, that's something that I want to go do just to see if I am scared of it. I haven't gone skydiving yet, but it's something that I definitely want to do just to be like, is it scary? Probably, for me, probably not, even though it looks scary. But I don't really have too many fears because I'll actively watch something that's scary, like an extremely gory horror movie, or like just a horror movie that's top tier in history books. But I just don't really find much, like, I don't feel fear when I watch something like that.
I think my biggest fear is probably being alone, and just being alone, surrounded by people, but just being alone and having no one blame but myself. I think that's probably my biggest fear.
So we all have like different fears and stuff. And I know some people actively watch horror movies and thrill seek to get scared. Why do you guys think that is?
I think people seek that thrill because it makes them like feel, it makes them feel excitement, not just like, oh, I got scared. That was really, really horrific. You seek that because you want to feel something. You want to feel what that's going to give you. You want to feel and see if that's going to give you fear. You want to seek that feeling.
I think it's because horror movies have like, they can give you, yeah, like that excitement and like that adrenaline, but without actually fearing you're going to die, I guess. I don't know. That's,
you have a screen to protect you.
I think it's cool. Like the different types of fear that we have, because there's so many different types of fears and there's so many different reasons why we have fear. And obviously we have fears like to protect us, because that's just kind of nature. And you have like that spider sense type thing. Yeah. That keeps you in fight or flight, that keeps your body safe. But there's also a line when it holds you back and keeps you from succeeding and can also make it hard for others around you to like be around you. Why do you guys think that is? And what do you think the line is?
There's so many lines when it comes to fear that sometimes the body and brain will cross. And I feel like instead of fight or flight, it's freeze or fawn. And right then and there, literally just like a deer in headlights. Like, you don't know what to do. Your body completely freezes. And it's like you just either accept your fate in a way, or you just don't have any other idea. Your brain just completely goes blank. And so then that's when fear becomes an issue, is when it's causing you danger instead of keeping you away from it.
It's time for Random Facts, the part of our episode where we share random stuff about this week's topic.
Hey, this is Davis. Do you want to hear some random facts about fear? Number one, claustrophobia is the leading cause in panic attacks. Number two, as soon as you recognize fear, your amygdala, a small organ in the middle of your brain, goes to work and alerts your body. Number three, did you know the word phobia means fear? Number four, 42% of Americans are afraid of clowns. Number five, did you know fear gives you adrenaline? Number six, most popular fears are the fear of enclosed spaces. Number seven, there are also different kinds of fear, such as social, mental, physical, and so much more. Number eight, phobophobia is the fear of having fears.
Hey guys, it's Ethan, and today I'm going to tell you 10 random celebrity fears. Number one, Matthew McConaughey is afraid of revolving doors. Number two, P. Diddy has a fear of long toes. Number three, Cameron Diaz, who plays Fiona in Shrek, has a fear of doorknobs. Number four, Christina Ricci from Casper has a fear of houseplants. Number five, Orlando Bloom from Lord of the Rings and Pirates of the Caribbean is afraid of pigs. Number six, Oprah Winfrey has an intense dislike for chewing gum. Number seven, Jake Gyllenhaal is afraid of ostriches. And on the topic of birds, number eight, Adele, the singer, is afraid of seagulls. Number nine, Alfred Hitchcock, one of the most notorious horror film writers, is afraid of eggs. And last, but certainly not least, Kristen Bell, who plays Anna in Frozen, is afraid of prudy fingers.
Those celebrity fears are so interesting. I love horror movies, honestly. And it's hilarious to me that Alfred Hitchcock is afraid of eggs. I wonder what kind of reaction he has to them.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of different responses. Like, the most, I say, popular is fight or flight. But there's also, like, freeze and fawn, obviously. But I also know people, when they get scared, they just get mean. Which is, like, a natural self-defense mechanism. Because when you're scared of something and you push it away, then, like, you get yourself out of the situations. But there's also some people I know who get really nice, like uncomfortably nice, and are really like funny and stuff when they get uncomfortable or they're scared, because that's just how they cope. And I feel like there's so many different coping mechanisms and just different ways people show they're scared, and not all of them are the same, which I think is kind of a cool thing, because it's like, because obviously each person's is different. They're an individual unless they're twins, and they're the same and they think the same.
So the whole crew got together and talked about fear and our hands-on experience. So let's listen in.
So last week, we all did a hands-on fear experiment. It was very homemade, but generally, I think it got the point across. So as you all remember, first thing that we did was we were given an ice cube to hold in our hand until it melted. And my hand was red at the end. Then we were given a shot of a mysterious liquid with little chunks in it. I still don't know what the chunks were.
Oh, it was bacon. It was bacon.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was bacon fat.
Then after that, I think we all put our feet in ice water and tried to get little marbles out.
Yeah, I did great on that one.
Yeah, that was more of a competition. And then...
And test some germophobia.
And then I guess we ate baby food, green baby food.
I don't know who would feed that to their baby, but that was horrifying.
Oh, okay.
That was disgusting.
I think that was just mashed peas.
Yeah, sure.
I will not talk about it, but I know that affected my digestive system greatly. Like, a day after.
Like, I can understand that it was, like, a fear thing, but, like, it wasn't that I was scared of it that I spit it out. It was just gross.
I was scared of the aftermath.
I wasn't scared of the thunder.
I was scared of the lightning.
Green stuff in front of me with chunks.
What did we do after that?
We ate spam. We ate cat food. Yes. They said it was cat food, but it was actually just spam.
Oh, we also smashed eggs on our head.
That was the highlight. Hard-boiled eggs. Little, just roulette all around.
Wait,
egg roulette.
Yes, egg roulette.
Egg roulette.
Anyways, so like I said, I feel like it generally got the point across. Would any of you like to share any takeaways from that experience?
Something I took away from the hands-on experience was that fear is really something created in your mind. Like, when we first were presented with the sauce and bacon bits, it did not look good. Based on what we later found out it was, like, it shouldn't have tasted as bad as it did. And again, I think that fear really is just something in your mind. However, the spam, I was told it was cat food, I was like, oh, it's just cat food. But, you know, one of my biggest fears is distrusting things that I eat or drink and stuff. And, like, I really don't like spam, because you literally do not know what it is made of. I don't trust that. The main point of this is nothing is, like, inherently scary. Like, you can have things like creepy clowns or escaped dinosaurs or whatever else everybody thinks is scary. Like, somebody else, they might be chill with dinosaurs just...
They might like that.
Yeah. Fear, I think one big takeaway you can take from it, at least me personally, so I don't have a lot of fears because I just don't like the feeling of being scared, if that makes sense. Like, I'm fine with, like, the adrenaline that comes after it, and that's why I'll do, like, a lot of thrill-seeking stuff, like do backflips off of stuff when I'm snowboarding, but also, if I'm, like, scared of something, like, a big fear I had for a long time was, like, of haunted houses and stuff. I was just terrified of them. And then I actively started going to haunted houses and, like, learning about them. And so that kind of ties into what kind of the activities we did. Fear is basically relatively on if you know too little or you know too much with something. Because, like, there's some stuff that you'll know about something, like an animal, and you're like, okay, I don't like that. Or food, I don't like that. And for the food that we did, like the tomato sauce stuff and the green stuff, we didn't know what it was. So you're like, I don't like that because I don't know. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Like, what is it? The spam and stuff. So basically, it's just like, it's the unknown or the known that, like, gets you scared. So it's just knowledge. And that's how I actively try and get out of my fears. Yeah.
It's true. Like, too little knowledge, then you won't know if you'll be scared of something or not. And then either once you do it, like, say, go to a haunted house, the more you go to it, the more your brain adapts to it, and you're just like, okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I think that fear of the unknown or things you do know is really important. Like, the reason people are afraid of things like the dark and the deep ocean is because they don't know what's down there or in there hiding out to get them. They don't know.
People are not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of being not alone in the dark.
What hides in it? What hides in the
dark? They're afraid of not being alone in the dark.
So, generally, like, fear of fearing itself and fear of the unknown are very confusing.
Fear of people.
Yes. Those kind of fears are very confusing because it's like there are thrill seekers, there are people that are afraid of being scared, but they, you know, seek haunted houses and stuff. And then there are people that, like, you know, then there are people who fear the unknown, but, like, are also adventurous, like going out into and just adventuring without, you know, knowing what's out there. So, you know, fear is interesting in that kind of sense.
I had a camp out that was through the next days, and there's a lake and it's freezing cold, and I was planning to jump into it with all my friends, and I was really scared, but then when I was holding the ice cubes and putting my feet in the cooler full of ice cubes, I sort of, like, got used to the cold, so I wasn't as scared anymore when I jumped into the river. Alex was there.
When we first arrived at the river, I went right into it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the consistency of a milkshake. This is not sandy beaches.
Yeah, it was, like, so freaking muddy. It was just, like, you put your foot into it, and you just sink.
And I was like, what could be hiding in there? But then, like, with the confidence of having of other people, ran into the river, went face first into it, and came out covered head to toe in mud. And it was fun. And, like, I feel like once you do things, you can overcome your fear, and you can push past it. And you know what? That is a much more enriching experience than it would have been to just stay at home. Because I overcame something. And that I feel like that is maybe why people like haunted houses and stuff, is because they feel like they overcame something scary.
Fear, too, I feel like, is such a, like, a broad word in terms of it, because, like, fear doesn't necessarily mean, like, you're terrified of something, and, like, it's so just, like, loosely used, because, like, I'm not necessarily scared of, like, a bear, but, like, if a bear comes towards me or I'm by a bear, I'm going to be worried or more cautious. And kind of one thing that, at least from my personal experiences, being Black in a very predominantly white area where there's been, it's been known to have things happen and I've had racial incidents happen to me, I'm not like scared someone's going to be racist, because a lot of, like, 99% of the people are good in this world, and I truly believe that. It's just sometimes people have their moments where they have some other just skewed perspective of what you should act like, and you have a skewed perspective of what they are going to act like, and it just results in people acting out. And a lot of times, because I remember when I was, I think I was 8, and I had a lot of messed up stuff going on at my school, and I was walking home with my friends from a gas station, a lady stopped us and, like, just was looking at me really weird. And I was like, I was super nice to her, and I smiled at her, and I told her, like, hi and stuff, and she would just looked at me and kind of scoffed and walked away. And then she followed me and my friends home to my friend's apartment, and then, like, was like, are you guys okay? Like, why are you hanging out with him? You shouldn't be hanging out with his kind. And, like, me being an 8-year-old, like, I already had, like, a conversation with my parents. I remember they sat me down, and they're like, Quinn, you're not a bad person, and you're not a different person because you're still a human being, but people are going to look at you different because of the situation that you're in. So I had a lot of rules. Like, I can't go outside with a hood on at night a lot of times in my neighborhood because it does look shadier, because, like, it just, you can't tell. You can't see my features and stuff. And it's not that people think, like, oh, bad because he's Black. It's just there's different perceptions on people, and, like, it's good to talk about this stuff happens, because when we talk about our different experiences from people who are different than us, it gives us a greater expanding on the world itself. Because I've talked to, like, a lot of my white friends about situations that's happened and stuff I don't feel comfortable with, that makes me feel uncomfortable, and I know it makes people around me feel uncomfortable. Because as not only, because so I'm on a football team, right, for the high school, and not only as kids, but as young men, we have a responsibility to be the best we can be. And I lost some people to, there's been a lot of suicides recently, and I lost 2 people I know very dearly to suicide because of this. This is my friend's little sister. And just hearing the stuff that kids said to her, and people around her didn't realize what they were saying and, like, what it meant, and that she could take her own life because she was so scared to go to school and stuff like that, to be around people, it just made me realize that, like, stuff I say affects everybody around me. And when I tried to tell people that and, like, make them realize that, you saying something to someone who you're really good friends with that might be offensive can affect everyone around you, especially if you're in a position of power or people know you when you're popular and popularity like that. Kids talk, and it gets around. They think that's cool because they look up to you. So as teenagers and as kids, we really got to take time to learn and listen and be more open to what other people are uncomfortable with, and being able to meet a middle ground, because it's not really, there's stuff that you can't really learn unless you've had those experiences or someone close to you has had that experiences, and not every family has that. Granted, we live in Utah, so there's not going to be a lot of Black people. So you can't have a white person trying to talk as a Black person because they don't know what it's like. But you also can't have a Black person trying to talk as a white person. Because I know if I say something to one of my friends on the football team and make a big deal out of it or lie about that, that affects every person on that team. And it gives the other person of another race a bad rep, because 90% of people aren't like that, and they just don't know. It's just they just don't know, and you just gotta listen and teach about different stuff, and we just have to learn and take time so we can meet everybody else's expectations around us, so there's not any fear, and try our hardest to not, like, hurt people's feelings. And of course it's gonna happen, because, like, we're humans, no one's perfect. That's not a valid expectation to be perfect, but we can all learn from it.
Somebody said earlier about how we should be afraid of what our words might do to other people, and, like, how fear can be a positive thing. And, I mean, I think that pertains well to responsibility. Like, I mean, I'm not a parent, obviously. But, like, I do keep animals, and that's, like, that's a hobby of mine, and sometimes I worry about how they're doing. And I can imagine that as a parent of a child, you should worry about what your child's doing, because if you don't, that's a bad thing. It's not like, I mean, you should overcome your fears, but it can be a useful tool as well for things like responsibility and being kind to people. Because if you never worry about what you're doing, you might do or say something that is really harmful. Because if you're always just letting out whatever, then you might just, if you're not worried if your pet is hungry or your child is hungry, you might just not feed them because you want to go shopping or do something else.
There are times when you have to use worry and you can't just constantly be so carefree.
Okay, so just one.
Yeah, you're.
So I felt like this was a really good round table, and I feel like generally what we got at, what we chipped away at, was that, like, you know, fear isn't black and white. It's not logical or even just multiple ways. It's weird because it's a mix of our personal experiences, our subconscious, all these different fears, and it's just confusing in that way. People who are scared of being scared enjoying horror movies. People who fear the unknown going out to adventure it. Anyways, I feel like it was a very productive roundtable.
Versus!
The part of our episode where we have two things compete against each other.
Head to head!
Do 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 do!
Boo!
What was that for?
Well, today's versus is about fear.
But why did you have to scare me?
Well, today's versus is, would you rather face your worst fear or not face your worst fear?
Okay, but why did you have...
The question was originally, would you rather face your fears or not face your fears? But people were saying yes, so we decided to shift it from that to facing your worst fear.
Ooh, well then, what were the results?
71.4285 and many more number percentages chose to not face your worst fear. Not facing your worst fear wins.
Wow. I think not facing your worst fear won because some people's worst fears were someone getting hurt or someone dying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cash, what's your worst fear?
You.
Well, back to my question. Why did you have to scare me at the beginning?
People listening to this podcast, we advise you to face your fears as long as nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's good, but why...
See you next time.
What's up? It's Quinn. Today we are talking about fear and how to be purposeful with your fears. I'm a believer that fear has a purpose. Our brain uses fear to protect us and uses instincts to keep us safe. Whether we get uncomfortable by large cliffs or by dangerous animals, you're feeling that way to keep you safe. Fear can come in two basic forms, irrational and rational fears. These fears can set you back from succeeding in life. Sometimes when you have a fear that's holding you back or stopping you from experiencing life, you need to step back and think, is this fear rational or irrational? And if it's irrational, your best course of action is to try and face it so you don't limit yourself. The famous scientist Marie Curie said, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less." The more we understand about fears or something that we are scared of, the more beneficial it can be to helping us figure out the purpose of why we are scared and how we can get past that fear. The reality is, we all don't know how much time we have left, so it's important to sometimes realize that there's life beyond your fears, and it's okay to be outside of your comfort zone, and to live life to its fullest because you never know how much time you have left. So let's be purposeful, and fear wisely, and understand what we're truly scared of. See you next time.
I've learned quite a lot today.
Finding out how you respond to fear and a lot of your fears can help, I think, can help you build a lot of your character and help you find your voice and help you kind of realize who you are, because a lot of fears are kind of what drives us, but also is at the same time what sets you back. So finding those fears and being able to conquer them can help us become better people.
And that's it for this One Voice episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for talking with us. You were very helpful and kind, and you have a nice voice. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
You're so beautiful.
That got creepy fast. But bye.
Finding Our Voice is a production of One Voice Children. Learn more at onevoicechildren.org.